Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I shall not make your muscles start to spasm. It could even cause some of you to orgasm. It's a Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices. Only one joke and yells and I'm already on Moises. You might be yourself just like your name was Moises. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another fantastic episode of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Nick Capozzi, and I'm joined, as always, by two guys who should have just been professional interviewers themselves, because they actually did their first interview this week, Gray and Rudy. Gentlemen, hello, how are you today?
We're like Dick Cavett Jr. Yeah. Do it up, Nicholas.
It's very exciting.
I was going for Charlie Rose III.
Oh, yes.
It's an exciting day here at the Razzball Baseball Podcast because we had our first guest on, and we will be getting in the podcast to a phenomenal interview with Corbin Burnson, star of Major League and LA Law. He's got a couple things out right now. We're going to talk about that when we get closer to the interview. So we're going to jump.
I think you should tell everyone who's listening, no shit, Corbin Burnson is really on the podcast. We're not BSing you.
Yeah, absolutely. Corbin Burnson. Well, listen, come on. He was a star in Major League.
No one likes to be teased with a Corbin Burnson interview. and then there isn't one. That'd be fucked up.
You Corb teaser.
Exactly.
So what I want to get right into, because we do have that interview that we are not teasing you with, even though we're teasing it, is let's get right into the baseball. So, Rudy, I'm in Toronto. I'm concerned. What's going on with Jose Bautista?
Well, obviously the stat line, I think you're drafting him in the first round. You're expecting a little bit more than, you know, three homers and a .214 average. And this is coming off, I could see the panic because his second half was nowhere near where he was in the first half last year. And in pretty much that whole the charm 2010 year. I think the solace I can give, because you're not, you know, if you have Bautista right now, I don't think you're going to be able to sell him for a dollar.
A Canadian dollar?
Well, a Canadian dollar, I think. Is that worth more now?
Yeah, probably.
It used to
be. The American dollar isn't worth that. The American dollar, it goes from the bottom up. It goes American dollar, peso, everything else. It's a true story.
So the part about Bautista that's still welcome is that his eye is fantastic and he's not striking out a lot. I mean, I think he's pretty much walking twice as much as he is striking out. So from an average perspective, you'd think it should go up. You know, if you were banking on 50 homers, you're probably, I'm right now I'd probably take it down to something like 30 homers, you know, maybe 100 RBIs.
Ouch. Ouch.
Oh, 300. Wow. I'm being so wrong. So, you know, being so cruel to Jose.
No, Bautista. I know. I'm just saying from where he was, so say 300 isn't, yeah. I mean, that's, you want a lot more than that. I don't think you're wrong necessarily.
I thought you would think I was being cruel to Jose Bautista, but you thought I was being kind of, you were empathizing with the people that drafted Jose.
Yeah. Bautista. I'm empathetic. I live vicariously through our commenters who drafted Bautista. I see that his numbers were down in the after the All-Star break, but yeah. I mean, last year in the preseason, we didn't want to have anything to do with Bautista, so So that ended up biting us because we didn't believe the 50-plus homer year. And then he had another great year. And now this year, I decided, you know, I was going to trust him. And I think Jose Bautista's sole purpose is to give me agita, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I'm seeing is, you know, like this is his fly ball rate's pretty low this year. His ground ball rate's up. I think it all just comes down to, for now, it's a bit fluky. He'll still perform, but 350 homers, which have been his two, you know, most sterling numbers over the last 2 years, he's probably not getting either.
If he gets if he bats 250 with 100 RBIs and he only hits 12 to 13 homers each half, I mean, you're kind of looking at Mike Karp, and you want to hurt someone who's near you.
But I don't think any two Mariners are going to get 100 RBIs.
No, the whole team isn't. The whole team's like, I wish we could score 100.
You know what they need? They need a nickel like this one. They need hockey rules where, like, you know, on a goal you get two assists.
Yeah. I think the Mariners get two RBIs.
It's like, come on, the guy right before him took like six pitches. Give him an assist RBI.
Yeah, and we take out the pitcher. You pull the pitcher, and you have an extra fielder.
All right. So what about here's another guy that I'm heavily invested in. I want to make this show all about me today. What about Ryan Zimmerman, Gray? Are you concerned about him at this point, or is he just a mess?
Yeah. Zimmerman, I think Zimmerman, he's young enough where he shouldn't be this terrible when he's playing. The problem is he's always injured, and I guess 1A on that problem is that when he's not injured, he's still not doing that well. So it's really hard right now to say, okay, Zimmerman's like a Josh Hamilton. Well, when he's healthy, he's good. Ryan Zimmerman's healthy. Has he been that good? I'm praying. I have him on a team, and I'm praying I get 25 homers and 10 steals. Right. And right now, I might be. Yeah, I don't. No one's answering my prayers.
Yeah. No. And I'm on that team with you, you bastard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if someone covets the Zimmerman in your league, and you can get a starter. And your league's shallow enough where you can get maybe Moose Tacos off of waivers. You trade Zimmerman for a starter, and you grab Moustakas, and because he's—I don't think he's going to be that far off from Zimmerman at this point.
Fair point. Now, yeah. let's talk. Let's get positive here. We want to ramp this up to get ready for this this fantastic Corbin Burnson interview. So, Rudy, Josh Hamilton is off to a phenomenal start. But speaking of guys with an injury track record, is he going to break our hearts this year, or is he going to put up the most disgusting numbers we've ever seen?
No, I mean, I'm all on buying on Josh Hamilton. I think the only thing that worries me is they've got him playing center field, which just increases his, to me, it would increase his chance of injuring something, whether it be a leg or an arm, some body appendage, because I don't think he'll be on the DL for anything other than bodily injury. I think he got his rehab out of the way. So that's the only concern. I mean, the way he's hitting, he seems locked in like he was about 2 years ago. There's a report out that he figured out how to hit during the day, which had been the big thing a year ago because of his beautiful blue eyes. he was having challenges during the day, and through contact lenses and something else, he's fine. So right now, I mean, I think Josh Hamilton's pretty much the front runner for AL MVP.
No doubt.
And
whoa, Tupac, what was that? No doubt.
And right now, the only issue with him is
I love you go Canadian gangster. No doubt.
We've got a little, by the way, too, if you're hearing a little bit of Gray on autotunes, it's because he's out of the country right now. So
I'm doing this from beautiful Florida. I'm on vacation.
So you're in Cuba.
For the week, but... Yeah.
But Eric, don't say anything about Castro.
I've had enough plantains. No, please. Go ahead.
What about, are you concerned, Gray, about Cliff Lee and this strained oblique?
No, I'm not concerned. I think he should be back in the 15-day, after the 15 days are up. I think he... You know, he doesn't have anything wrong with his arm, so the oblique is usually, it comes up out of nowhere. No one knows exactly where the oblique is, and then it goes away.
That's why it's oblique.
Yeah. It's very vague.
What about Daniel Hudson's shoulder?
That I'd be a little more worried about. Hopefully they bring up Trevor Bauer. I'd like to see him.
And I hear Tyler Skaggs is looking pretty good too.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with his minor league numbers, but he looks like he could be
all two starts.
Those guys with the what?
He's had like three starts, but he had a great one.
No, he pitched in the minors at the end of last season too. His K rate's through the roof. He's just last year and this year.
Did you get some last year? Okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He's definitely raw, but he looks like he could be a huge strikeout guy. He kind of looks like one of those Aroldis Chapman crazy, you know, he's right-handed though, but he looks like one of those guys that has just crazy Ks and crazy walks where if he can cut his walks at all, he could be elite. I think our prospect writer, Scott, on the site, compared him to Lincecum, and that was meant as a compliment prior to, you know, this year.
That freak. So you're saying Trevor Bauer could be freak Lincecum, not freak, mortal freak, Lincecum.
Yeah, right. Freakish. Yeah.
Oh, I don't even want to discuss Lincecum. I'm still upset.
Not 100-plus pitches in five innings against the Mets.
No, with 17 walks. No, not that Lincecum.
Oh, thank God.
Rudy, what's...
Thank you, Lord.
Man, you got to give the Giants credit, because you notice how the Giants never gave Lincecum the big contract. They've given him like a 2-year contract here and there. They knew this was coming.
Why would you give any pitcher, a young pitcher, a long term contract?
They gave Kane a huge one. The Giants didn't want to give Lincecum a large contract until he was older. That's the Sabian way. You need to be at least in your 30s before I'm going to give you a big contract.
Right.
Right.
And just for the record, Bauer's numbers.
Yeah.
Bauer's numbers in the minors between last season and this season, he's averaging 13.2 K per nine, but also 4.8 walks per nine.
This is Bauer?
Yeah.
You know, his stuff's so unhittable that even when they, you know, like, they just let it go.
Yeah, the crazier, I think, definitely, the crazier the guy's stuff is, I think that they don't even try and control it. It's like, I'm throwing 115 miles per hour. Like, I care where the ball's going. Just get out of the way.
Hey, speaking of crazy, what's going on, Rudy, with steals this year? Because Andrus has one, and D. Gordon has 42. What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we tend to be kind of... bearish on stolen base only guys. We love them, you know. We're going all Sagnoff, but we don't like drafting them too early. You know, there is a lot of mocking about, you know, picking Michael Bourne as a third round pick because it's just kind of random. Like, you know, if you told me who is going to be one of the top three stolen base guys that you'd want to own, I would think Elvis Andrus would be in that conversation because he plays shortstop where. Stolen, you know, maybe a stolen base only guy won't hurt you as much because you don't expect a lot of power out of shortstop. And he's not stealing at all. I think he's at two stolen bases, maybe.
He had one yesterday. I don't know. Maybe he has two now.
Yeah.
Maybe the Razzball podcast is motivating him.
I hope so. I mean, we don't have him anywhere. But in the spirit of empathy, there's 40-plus Razzball readers that own you in an RCL league, Elvis Andrews. All they're asking is for a 40 base rate at stolen, 40 base a year rate stolen bases. Show them something. I get it.
Yeah, and a little bit over.
You're just gonna score anyway on a home run.
Yeah, exactly. If he gets it together, though, I mean, imagine the runs he could put up in that lineup.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with his. His caught stealing rate last year was pretty pathetic. So hopefully it wasn't Washington and the Rangers, saying that, putting the brakes on him a little bit. Hopefully this is just a fluky 2-week thing.
Yeah, I think it actually, it's one of those cases where you think that hitting first or second is good for a Sagnoff guy, but I think it's bad. I mean, I could own him on a team and I'd still feel pretty bad about having him steal with Josh Hamilton up. It seems kind of ridiculous, yeah. Like, if he gets caught out, you look like an idiot. So I sometimes like it when there's, guys that are just hitting, like, seventh or eighth in the lineup. And, let those guys steal, because that's the only way you're going to manufacture a run down there.
Yeah, in terms of this, in the NL.
I think
also with steals, you have, with Andrews, he could steal 4 bases this week still and be right back.
Totally. Now, stolen bases seem to come
steals
bunches.
Come real quickly. So,
I wouldn't
panic.
Yeah, that's why I hate stolen base only guys for head to head. Because it's like you'll get like, 5 in a week and you don't really need it. And then, a week or two goes by and they're shut out. Anyone who's basically cursing my name saying, you told me to drop Bonifacio in my head-to-head league and he's got no one stolen bases. It's like, you shouldn't be drafting Bonifacio in a 12-team head-to-head league. Even now, I wouldn't want him because he's not going to do anything else for you.
By the way, if you don't know what Sagnoff means, it's not because you're an idiot. It's because you haven't been to the glossary yet at rasball.com. So you definitely want to check that out. Also, you can follow on Twitter at Rasball and at Rudy Gamble. Okay, what we're going to do here now, gentlemen, well, first two things. One, we're going to put a poll on the website tomorrow. And we want to know, do you prefer gray on auto-tune? Or do you prefer gray with the bus schedule in the background? We're really curious. We want your feedback. We want to know where to take this. Actually, what we are going to do now is go to the Corbin Burnson interview. So it is with great delight that the Rasball Baseball Podcast welcomes their very first guest, the star of Major League in L.A. Law, Mr. Corbin Burnson. Corbin can currently be seen on the USA Network show Psych and a movie that is screening right now in L.A. called Bad Actress. It's a great little indie film. You should go and queue that up on Netflix right now with your little Netflix thingamajiggy. It's a great dark comedy. Again, that is Bad Actress. So here we go. Corbin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure. Good to be here.
We're going to put you through the Rudy and Gray 6 scintillating questions gauntlet. Take it away, Gray.
Hey, Corbin, thank you. I was, your film Bad Actress is currently screening in L.A. right now. And in that film... You play yourself, right?
Yeah.
What's that like? Yeah. You wake up in the morning, it's like, okay, I'm ready, let's shoot.
Yeah, pretty much. You get to go and be you. No, the truth is, it's always a little weird because it's, what is me all of a sudden? It's like, that's not me. And then you find yourself doing false me. Kind of like you would be on a bad date, kind of like, what am I saying?
Did
the director ever say, that's not Corbin Burnson-y enough for me?
No, never quite gets like that. Never quite gets like that. But I've directed people like that also, So it's, I've directed people, I'm trying to keep them natural. And it's funny, people do shift into a gear, even when they're doing themselves.
They become the caricature of themselves almost?
Yeah, right. Right, with the pink they should be or something.
Yeah, what's always fascinating is when you hear, an actor's almost cast in a role. Christopher Walken was almost cast as Han Solo, right? Is there any films you were almost cast in that you are glad you weren't, or
possibly wish you were?
No, I mean, there's things almost got away, like I almost turned down like Major League and a few things like that, but not really. I'm not one of those guys who's got this incredible story of like, ooh, I missed that opportunity. Yeah. There's some films that I wish I had been in that I, you know, wish I'd gotten the part. That's every actor. So
I could see you as David Addison from Moonlighting. Remember that?
Yeah, of course I do. I know. You know, I knew Bruce well during that period, and you know, we were doing L.A. Law at the same time. So,
or outside the box, maybe like a Clubber Lang, like if they were thinking different with Rocky.
With that. Yeah, right.
They kind of typecast Mr. T in that one. I agree.
All right, Rudy, go ahead.
Okay, so, Corbin, you grew up in an acting family. I hear your dad was a producer and your mom was an actress?
Still is an actress, yeah. She does a soap opera.
Now, did you feel it was easier or harder to break into an industry in which your family works?
Well, you know, it's always easier because you kind of, you know some of the rules, you know, as it were, and you have a few connections. You still got, like any business, you can't just go and do it because they did it and succeed. And plus, you know, you're in some business where they're handing you a multi-million-dollar company and you blow it. But even then, you got to make it work, you know. It had its positives and negatives. The negative is you have to get over the fact that it's not going to get you anywhere. You got to still do it on your own. But you do get the foot in the door thing.
No.
Cool.
Over to you, Greg.
All right. I saw that you were in the 1990 Rock and Jock Celebrity Softball Games.
Correct.
This is the infield. Eddie Murray, Barry Larkin, Brett Michaels, and you.
Right.
That's about the best infield money can buy right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was fun.
That was the early days of Rock and Jock before they started scripting it, you know.
Oh yeah, it was I saw Mark McGwire was the hitting coach for you guys.
Yeah, right. I actually lived off with Mark. He was a good guy.
Yeah, I saw. And what was your most memorable moment from that?
I don't know, I did three or four of them. I mean, different things. You know, barbecuing with Michael Richards, playing shortstop one year with Cindy Crawford at second and turning a double play, you know.
Or MC Hammer taking a lead off of first and doing the hammer dance.
There you go.
MC Hammer has baseball chops.
I don't remember that one.
I think MC Hammer was like the Oakland A's bat boy when he was younger.
Wow.
But he was living in Oaktown.
Yeah. There you go.
Go ahead, Rudy.
So we have to, given we're a baseball blog, we have to ask this a question or two on Major League. Who was the best and worst at baseball among the actors? Was there anyone that was so bad that you were like, oh my God?
The only one that was fairly bad was, you know, with all due respect, he's a good dude, but Tom Berenger could not throw the ball or do anything, you know. I mean, yeah. He's a great actor, but he's a horrible baseball player.
I thought his run to first on that bunt play was fantastic. He didn't even throw slow motion. That was real fun.
You know, and I got a lot of, people gave me a lot of crap for, you know, not playing well. I keep saying, but my character is not supposed to play well, you know. I'm supposed to not get in front of a ball. And so, you know. But it was really the real person. I mean, Charlie obviously was really, really good. I feel like I was pretty much up there. But Charlie was far and above everybody. But Tom was pretty much, you know, the stars, the weakest one. You got Chelsea Ross. He's a cool dude, but he can't throw the ball more than 22 miles an hour. So, yeah.
Are you still friendly with Charlie?
I talked to him a couple of times during his meltdown, but I wouldn't say friends with him, you know. I like Charlie, he's a good guy, and I tried to support him, went to his roast and all that. But, you know, it's hard when people are sort of their own mind and whatever. It's hard to, you know, it's hard. I kind of like, I just don't have a lot of room to get too deeply involved in all that.
Right. He said that he took steroids during Major League.
Maybe,
you,
I guess.
Did you dabble in any of the artificial enhancers?
No, man. I don't like any kind of ingesting anything that's not. It's not me.
Did you talk to Jabu at all?
What's that?
Did you talk with Jabu at all?
No. Yeah, he's a good guy.
That was a great cast. You had Wesley, the president from 24, Hayes Burt, yourself, Charlie, Farringer. Yep.
Jim
pretty
Gammon,
incredible.
The coach.
Yeah, you had Renee Russo in her prime.
There you
go.
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool. All right, yeah. Corbin. Well, thank you so much. And again, go queue up Bad Actress. There you go, man. Our comedy.
We made it a couple of years ago, but it's a cool little film. Check it out.
All right, man.
All right, dude. Good to talk to you.
Thanks again.
All right. Thanks. Later.
That was fun. Thanks, Corbin Bernson, for doing that. And we're going to try and get some more interviews lined up. Good job interviewing, by the way, gentlemen. Don't quit your day job, though. Let's get back to baseball.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Wait, is that a compliment or a
fact? It was only awkward at least six or seven times.
Yeah, I think it was a backhanded compliment. It's okay.
Right now I'm looking at Craigslist to find a podcast moderator. Any suggestions, Rudy?
All right, let's go back to baseball.
But is Baba Booey around?
We already have Scott the engineer.
That's okay. I won't quit my day job either.
Hey, come on.
Let's get
we
back.
We love you. Give me a virtual hug. All right, go ahead.
Okay, back to baseball. Great. Jared Parker is starting on Wednesday. What's his upside pitching in Oakland?
I'm pretty excited about Parker. I love that park. O.com stadium. It's a good place for a pitcher. And last year, his control was a little wonky, but that was coming off of Tommy John surgery. So it looks like this year he's tightened up his walk rate, and he still has about 7+ Ks a game. So I think I would definitely take a flyer on him. He feels like the type of guy who is going to be owned in about 50% of mixed leagues all year round and just be like the first guy on your team, the first guy off, depending on matchups. But yeah, I like him. I would definitely take a flyer on him.
Any thoughts on him, Rudy?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much same. I like taking flyers on anyone hitting out of Oakland or pitching out of Oakland right now. He's been hyped up. Be good. Interesting to finally see him, see how his stuff translates to the major leagues.
Okay, now someone
I'll tell you that he's a lot more interesting to watch than Graham Godfrey.
He will roast you.
He'll roast you. Don't
get... Now someone
his pitching is almost as irritating as his voice.
Hey, what's that duck? What's the Aflac duck doing pitching for Oakland?
Now, Rudy, someone you were high on all preseason was Altuve from Houston, who now he's off to a blazing hot start. They moved him up to the two hole, and he's still available in 55% of leagues.
Yeah, no, I like. I don't like to spend. You know, I mentioned before I don't like to spend a lot on Sagnoffs because you never, you know. But for MIs, I like later round MIs with stolen base upside, and that's what. And particularly those that have job security and don't look like they'll shit the bed on average. And that was my take on Altuve. And yeah, so far, I mean, he's hitting in the 300s. He's not going to be, I don't see him as a 40 stolen base guy based on his minor league stuff, but 25 to 30, you know, is pretty solid. That you get one or two guys like that and you don't really need that, you know, to sacrifice, you know, one of your outfield positions for Michael Bourne. That's particularly in 12-team leagues. Once you get into 15, you know, and more, like ALN only, you know, we've got Tony Campana going right now in a 15-team expert league. And loving the three stolen bases in the last 2 days from him. But yes, I'm big on Altuve. I like Jameel Weeks as well. You know, if you can get 280, 290, decent runs, and 25 stolen bases from those guys, I think you'll look. You know, you'll find that those guys are going to be going a few rounds earlier next year.
Well, Weeks was going in the eighth round this year, and Altuve wasn't even drafted in a lot of leagues. So now, someone else who's completely
Altuve is probably not even owned in a lot of leagues.
Well, he's 55% availability right now.
And Altuve mashes lefties. I mean, so watch out, Randy Wolf.
Sorry, no one 5'7" mashes. Okay.
No, there's 5'7" like mashers.
Do you look like?
How do you think you get hash browns?
Nick.
Yeah.
Restaurant.
Sorry, did we lose you again, Greg? What did you say?
Nick, did you ever see Eastbound? Hello.
Yeah.
Am I here?
Yeah. Hello? Barely. Were you saying Eastbound and Down?
Yeah, the guy, someone alerted me in the comments that he looks just like Casper from Eastbound and Down. I've never seen it, but
is that the one with Chris Perez as the main guy?
Yeah, with the mullet.
Now, here's another guy who's completely...
I don't think they have HBO in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, they do.
They had Bizarre with John Biner.
Oh man, that's old school. Actually, you know what they did? We didn't get the Bizarre.
Dave Osborne was a huge hit in Canada. Are you crazy, Rudy?
Oh, no, that was Showtime, I thought.
But you know what they did with Bizarre?
I think they had didn't Emmanuel go to Canada once?
First and Ten. Was Corbin Burnson in First and Ten too?
No, that was Ogre.
One quick thing about Bizarre. What they used to do was they filmed it here without any nudity, and then they would refilm all the skits for the U.S. with the nudity. So we got completely fucking jobbed on that. Thanks, America. Wow.
You got blue laws?
No, well, not.
I didn't think any. I didn't think any country was more prudish than the U.S. I mean, Western country, obviously, and the East, they tend to be a little bit prudish. But Canada is more prudish than us?
No, we're pretty liberal right now.
Wow.
Except for Montreal. Is that like the green zone?
Montreal is so liberal. Montreal
has suddenly become AM radio. Yeah, what are we talking about?
Let's get back to baseball here. Another guy that I'm worried about, and he's messing up a lot of my teams, is Matt Moore. So, great. Did the industry just overvalue him, or is he just off to a rough start?
Did you say the industry?
Oh, are you?
You mean like the fantasy baseball industry?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a cool crowd. I think the fantasy baseball industry did not overvalue Matt Moore. I can't say fantasy baseball industry with a straight face. I'm sorry. I think Matt Moore is going to bounce back. He'd be a great buy low right now. His numbers don't look that bad, except for
except for all the walks. All right, Gray, we're cutting you off. You're out of here, Gray. We're done with you. You're freaking auto-tuned.
Yeah, I'll jump in because I seem to have the only decent connection between the two of us. But, I mean, Matt Moore, he was overdrafted. You can't go that crazy over rookie pitchers. Even when one is as awesome as advertised, like Strasburg. You know,
hello?
Yep, you're there. We hear you.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
So even the Strasburg got injured, you know, really early on. So hey, you never
when
know
you
with
say
the...
you hear, when you say you hear me, do you hear me like an echo or do you just hear me?
You're breaking up a little bit. I think it's the humidity in Florida. It's messing up the signal.
Oh, it'd be mosquitoes.
Probably wiretapping because of the Castro comments.
I'm doing it.
All right,
you're interrupting someone's early bird special.
I don't want to spend too much time with closers, but I'll tell you this. I'm punting safe for the rest of my life.
I'm here to secure Ozzie Guillen next week.
I'm going to punt saves the rest of my life, but I don't even want to get into closers right now because I'm so frustrated with it. But just quickly.
Who did you draft? Who were you? Because you see, there's like two of the last 3 weeks or so, you've been... You've kind of shown this kind of,
closer anger
toward closers. Who did you draft? Who scarred you?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I've actually had really good luck with closers.
Who hurt you?
Is it just this? Is it this talk radio thing just inspires anger?
No, I well,
we're just talking about flowers and butterflies during the break. What happened? Where's the Nick? Where's the Nick that sees beauty in the world, and sees you know the half full glass of closers that don't suck?
Okay, you're right. It's sorry. Let me.
I should have never done the podcast from a raft. That was my first mistake.
And the second was
when they're offering the raft tours of the Caribbean. I should have never got on one. My bad.
And you had to assume when you make an oar out of plantains, it's probably going to disintegrate at some point during the journey.
All right, just quickly, Daniel Byrne.
Julio, I thought you ate back at the dock. Stop eating the oar.
It's too salty.
All right, let's call this. I'll be back in L.A. next week.
All right, let's wrap this up just quickly.
We have Corbin Burnson on the show. What else do you want?
All right, just quickly. Daniel Byrne being skipped to start. Is he going to wind up back in the pen, Rudy? Gray, I'm not even going to you. Rudy, is he going to wind up back in the pen?
No, that they have a headstrong organization right now. He's got like at least four more starts.
No, but they're skipping him a start, I thought, to put him in the pen.
No, because he's never thrown more than like 80 innings in a professional season. Okay. So
they didn't skip him.
His start
got rained out.
Well, that would be. But then they didn't. Then they skipped him because they could have.
Well, they wanted to keep everyone else on the same. Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
Skipping,
well, but that's because. Yeah, they want to keep him at like 140, 150 innings so that the rainout was actually perfect for them. So I still see him as a starter, which is probably he's of less value as a starter than he would be if he was the closer, which he would be if we had anything to say about it.
All right,
we don't have enough as much sway in Boston since our boy Whitey got found out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for the Razzball Baseball Podcast this week. Don't forget.
Stop eating the oar!
Bad Actress. Get it on Netflix. Do it. Do it now. Thanks right, again later. To Corbin Burson. Thanks again, guys. Have a great day. Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.